Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you had $1 million and you wanted to start a collection, what would you collect? Ashley Baylor, meteorologist, is in for Raven while Raven's on vacation. He'll be back on Monday. Ashley, they put out this list of celebrities with strange, wildly expensive collections. And as I'm looking at it, I'm thinking in my head, you got to be rich because what would you do with all these things, right? Do you collect anything?
I do.
What do you collect?
Salt and pepper shakers.
Oh, I love that. That's so little old lady.
Very. I'm a very old soul sometimes.
I watched this viral video of this woman that... She inherited her salt and pepper collection from her grandmother, and she had no idea, and she had 3,000 sets of them.
Oh, I'm not even close to that number.
Yeah. How many do you have?
Oh, I'd probably say at least 50.
Where do you even find them anymore? Because it used to be when you would travel places, you would find them like the shot glasses, and now it's kind of harder to find them.
That's typically where I get most of them. My husband will go overseas. He'll usually bring something back for me for wherever he's been, but I've collected them for at least 15 years now, maybe even 20.
How many do you think you have?
Easily 50.
All right. Meaningful ones. That's cute. Where do you display them?
They are displayed on a wine rack that sits in a sitting room, if you will. It's a former living room, but now it's kind of a sitting room.
All right. That's cool. But you could also be like Angelina Jolie because she collects antique and custom knives. I don't know. You want to date somebody that collects knives?
I don't know. I feel like that kind of tracks with her personality, though.
It's true. I went on a date one time. I was taking one for the team. It was the head bouncer at this club when we were in college that all the girls wanted to get into. And he kept asking me out. And the girls were convinced that I only would have to go out with him once. And then we would be able to get into this bar club all the time. So I said, okay. So he invited me to his apartment. And I walk in and the place is covered in samurai swords. They're everywhere. Samurai. I had never been so terrified in my life. And he was a complete gentleman, nice guy. But like I was like, that's a deal breaker. The guy that collects samurai swords where there's like 20 of them on a wall right behind his TV. I was like, no, thanks. Tom Hanks has more than 300 vintage typewriters from all over the world. That I love. I had one typewriter that I found at a flea market that was like on display. And then when the Tortured Poets Department album came out from Taylor Swift, I brought it into the studio and we auctioned it off online to raise money for Make-A-Wish. And I remember, like, we got a great price for it, but I remember being so sad because I was like, oh, I really liked this typewriter.
I used to have one way back in the day.
I'm going to get another one of these days. I got to find it at the right, like, tag sale or whatever. Nicolas Cage collects shrunken pygmy heads and haunted properties. What?
Haunted properties.
Speaking of haunted properties, did you hear, you know, the comedian Matt Rife?
Oh, yes. I watched him before. Okay. Well, I should say I've seen him in person.
Okay. Do you know that he bought the Warren's Museum?
Yes.
With the Annabelle doll? Now, technically, he doesn't own the Annabelle doll, but he kind of has rights over it.
Right.
Why? Why would you want to own all that stuff that is so haunted?
It's fascinating that somebody like that, no less, would turn around and buy something. I have not been to the Warren's Occult Museum because, you know, they have one at their home. That is nothing I would want to own. In fact, you could hand it to me for free and I'd still say no thanks.
Right. And then there's Rod Stewart. He's got a massive model train city in his home. Imagine.
That's endearing.
It's cute.
I like that.
Yeah. How do you know you should not bring your kids somewhere? How about what the person in charge asks them to leave? Trending is powered by Progressive. Progressive Commercial Insurance flexes to fit your business's needs, from quick repairs and adjustable coverages and even more payment options. Progressive Commercial makes it easy to get what you need. Quote today in as little as 6 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. Raven's out today. He'll be back on Monday. Ashley Baylor sitting in. Ashley, we both have daughters that are around the same age. They're going into second grade. Have you ever brought your daughter somewhere where you looked around and you thought to yourself, yeah, maybe I should not have brought my baby here?
I'm very conscious of that before I bring her anywhere. There was one time I wanted to bring her to a Patriots victory parade.
Mm.
And even my mom was like, that's really just not a good idea. You never know what can happen. There's so many people.
Well, right. And it's a lot of drinking people, too.
Yeah.
That's the big issue. There's been two big news stories over the last week that have been trending about babies getting caught, called out at places they should not have been. So it was all happening at the Cincinnati Masters the other day when somebody's kid started crying in the stands. Like, and the baby was crying for like 10 minutes. It was a long period. And at a tennis tournament, remember, everybody needs to be silent. So the woman who was doing pretty well, her name is Emma Raghu. She was doing pretty well against the number one ranked player in the world. And she could not get her act together because the baby was crying. So the ump asked,
it's a child. Do you want me to send the child out of the stadium?
Kicked out the baby. Kicked the baby out of the tennis tournament.
Well, it sounds like a lot of people agreed.
Right. No, but yeah, absolutely. And I'm listening to everybody being like, get this crying baby out of here. And it's tough because, you know, as a parent, you don't want your baby to be crying. You don't want your baby to be causing a scene. But at some point, maybe after the first minute, when you realize this is my baby causing a scene, don't you think you get up and walk out of the stadium?
Well, that's what it is. That's right. Just bad parenting. If you, after 1 minute, don't realize, okay, my kid's not calming down. I need to go somewhere else so I'm not disruptive.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're not only the bad parent, you're actually the bad person too.
Yep. So the umpire removed them. The parents refused to leave, and it was a whole thing. Finally, they left, and it was funny because one of the people there said, if you've got money for tennis tickets, you can probably afford a babysitter. That seems somewhat accurate.
That tracks.
But that wasn't the only story this week. Maluma, who is a Latin singer, he's very, very famous, and he was, I'm going to play this, but you're not going to understand what's happening because it's in Spanish, but listen to the crowd reaction to what he says. He stops the concert down because on the floor, in the floor seats, there was somebody with like a baby Bjorn with a baby strapped to it. And he could not believe that somebody brought a baby to his concert and had no ear protection.
Oh. It's so cringy when you see that.
Like, what do you, that is a full out rager concert. What are you doing with a baby there? And how do you not put those headphones on that baby? You know, I just brought Dakota, my little one, she's six, to her first concert. We were talking about this yesterday. We went to go see Katy Perry. I even brought her earplugs at 6 years old because who knows, like, the first time there, what's going to happen. There's so many studies that, you know, what it can do to their hearing. So, I guess the moral of the story today is don't bring your baby to a tennis tournament and probably get them some ear protection if you're going to a concert. Well, here's a side gig that I think is AI proof. College students moving back into the dorm rooms. And it used to be, and I know at least for me, Ashley, I'm not sure about you, but when I moved into the dorms, there was two old wooden desks and two bed frames, and that was it. I put on the mattress, grabbed a couple pillows, got my shower caddy, and was on the way. Not anymore.
The days of musty and boring college rooms are coming to an end as college students take to TikTok to share their insanely decorated dorms.
Yep, now you have to super decorate your dorm room and make it the epitome of gorgeousness so you can get likes on TikTok and Instagram.
Oh, my mission in life.
Yep.
Students are hiring interior designers to create Instagram-worthy dorm rooms that they can proudly showcase on social media.
This is a new job. This is something that a lot of people are doing, that they're leaving their workplace and they're going and they're designing these dorm rooms, and there's a huge influx and need for them.
These professionally designed spaces feature trendy decor, smart storage solutions, and personalized touches that make each room unique.
What made your dorm room unique, Ashley?
Nothing.
I had Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day. I was in love with him. He was my hall pass my whole life. And I had posters of him next to my bed so I could kiss him goodnight. That made me unique, right?
Well, I suppose halfway through my freshman year, I bought a hamster that used to sit in the dorm with me.
That made it unique. Definitely. Yeah. This is a lot different. This is designer. This is you get with your roommate and you come up with a theme and you hire one of these dorm designers who charge up to, wait for it, $20,000 for their services.
Because college isn't expensive enough.
I just don't understand who. I am so panicked. My older daughter is going into her junior year, and all I keep thinking is, how are we going to pay for all this? How are we going to do all this? And I can't imagine being like, okay, Oh, we also need to hire a designer for $20,000 for the dorm room. But there's this one woman, her name is Mary Shelley, and she quit her job as a teacher. She started doing this as a side hustle, and she realized that she can make so much money, and she's in such high demand. She posts all her like renovations of the dorms on TikTok.
Here's their bed. We tried to give them a little piece of home.
Now, in her defense, they're pretty awesome. The rooms look really nice. I kind of want her to come redecorate my bedroom as well.
Does she also take it apart when you leave the dorm?
I don't know about all that. I doubt it very
much.
Because
that's the worst.
Yes.
Is having to take it all down, shove it into your car.
Yep.
I hated that part.
I know. At the end of the semester when you had to bring all the stuff home and then everything was disgusting. You realize you've been living in filth the entire time when you realize how dirty everything is.
I know. Oh. She should really do first day and last day of school picture when it comes to those dorms.
Well, I mean, it's so beautifully all set up, and you see, and there's the color coordinates, and there's the LED lights, and there's, you know, it's beautiful. And then I think to myself, right, but these are college kids living there, so it lasts maybe about 3 days, and then it looks like a college kid's room, right?
Right. There's the little puke stain at the end of the bed.
1-800-330-9999. Let's have a real conversation about it. What advice would you give a student that's about to move into their dorm room and can't afford a $20,000 remake? Looking for a side gig? One woman quit her job as a teacher to start decorating dorm rooms, and it's all the rage. It's not dorm rooms like how you remember. Two wooden beds and two wooden desks, and you just basically bring your shower caddy and you're good to go. These rooms have been completely renovated, transformed into these gorgeous bedrooms. And people are paying up to $20,000 to hire these people to do it. But if you're just an average student going back to college, there's a good chance you probably can't afford this. So what advice would you give to the student that's moving into their dorm for the first time over the next couple weeks? Things they actually need to know. Ashley, David wrote on our Facebook page at Ann on Raven, don't ever wear Crocs. No, you need to bring, you need to wear Crocs or flip-flops for the shower. Otherwise, you get toe fungus. Everybody knows that. That's moving into college 101, right?
Oh, you have to.
Right?
I can't imagine going in there barefoot.
Ugh. 1-800-330-9999. What's the advice you have for the college kids moving into their dorm for the first time? David.
Command strips. Do not use thumbtacks. Because you have to put spackle and all those things when you end the semester.
Oh, I love when things make sense. That is true. Because you can't damage the room and you don't even think about it. I hung up curtains in my dorm room with thumbtacks. That was a mistake.
You hung curtains with thumbtacks?
Yeah. I didn't know how to do it. So I used thumbtacks to hang curtains and they would fall all the time. And I couldn't understand why until my now husband walked in and was, he was my boyfriend at the time. And he's like, are those thumbtacks holding up that curtain?
I would have been impressed that there were curtains.
Oh, yeah. I thought I was so fancy. It was really a tapestry of Jim Morrison. It was a different time.
Oh, all right.
Ray, what's your college advice to students that are moving into the dorms?
If you're going into a dorm, those people that are your roommates or your suite mates, depending on how it's laid out, those are probably going to be people that you know for the rest of your life. Really try to get along with them. Try to go into the situation with an open mind and just have a good time with your new roommates, suite mates, dorm mates, and realize that they are people you're going to know probably for the rest of your days.
I mean, that's good advice. My first college roommate was my best friend and still is one of my very best friends. You know, we met the first day when we showed up and it worked out great. But at one point we had to separate. We wanted to get into a house together. So the only way we could do it is because there was two roommates that hated each other. So they needed to separate. So one of us had to go with one. One of us had to go with the other one. And the other girl, I liked her very much. She was fine, but she was never going to be my best friend. But you have to be civil and you have to get along well enough because otherwise your life just becomes miserable.
I understand that. I remember their names, all of my roommates, but I really haven't remained in contact with any of them.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I love those girls. They're my ride or die. That makes me sad, Ashley. Katie, how about you? What advice would you give to a college student about to move into their college dorm?
Absolutely. Respect hygiene and cleanliness and practice it. Keep your space clean. Clean up after yourself. Keep your body clean. There are so many new college people coming in that just don't have any hygiene or cleanliness skills. They don't know how to do any of that.
I remember, and this is so messed up to say, but when you would walk into a dorm and you would walk into the, I think everything is mixed now, but like the boys section, mm-hmm. The boys section smells. Like, you would walk in and it would smell like boy. Yeah. What are they doing differently than the girls that they smell like this and the girls don't?
Like the south end of a northbound donkey?
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Yes. Just like that.
I've been fortunate enough to hear every single song on here, so I know they're all 12 bangers.
Oh, you hear that? There's a green flag. Green flag on the field right now. Oh, keep going, Travis. Keep going.
That's a banger.
It's a banger? Oh, are we talking about Taylor Swift? What are we talking about, Travis?
Back covers where we find the 12 tracks for my 12.
12 tracks.
12 bangers.
Album. Oh, Ashley, you know what it is?
It's a banger.
It's a banger. It's a banger. Oh, gosh. If you watched the New Heights podcast with Travis and Taylor this past week, which, you know, is kind of like the biggest news in music right now this week, you realize that these two are in love. They are in love. And whenever people are in love, you always wonder, and it's so sad to think of it this way, are they going to last? And you really wanted to. And I don't know why I am so invested in the relationship, but I am. I want them to be happy. And Taylor talks about the fact that he's filled with green flags.
Like, a huge green flag is that Travis has had the same friends since he's probably 4 years old.
Yes, literally.
And he's incredibly good at maintaining friendships, and he's so loyal, and his friends are equally loyal. And they're just the funniest, most hilarious group of people.
And I asked ChatGPT, Ashley, what are the biggest green flags when you're dating somebody new? And interestingly enough, two out of the top five you just heard right there. One, they have their own passions and friendships. And she talks about him being friends with these kids since he was 4 years old, right? And the other is they celebrate your success. And the one thing that was abundantly clear during this podcast is that he is her biggest fan. He, you know, as he said, they're all bangers. Every song's a banger. And he's so proud of her. And I started thinking, were the green flags there when I met my husband? Were there green flags? Were there red flags? And the other green flags that they say is they treat people with kindness. That's the whole being nice to the waiter. They ask questions about your life and they don't interrupt you. Obviously important. And they don't trash talk their ex. I have never heard my husband in our 20 years of marriage or the 5 years that we dated before that ever say a word about an ex-girlfriend.
Really?
Never. Except for the one that I knew because we were in college when, you know, at the beginning. I don't even know if he ever dated anybody else. He's never brought it up.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, my husband, I'm now the second wife. He's definitely talked about his exes because he does have other children with two other women. So, yes, I've had to go into the deep dive about that.
So hold on. Let's talk about this because I feel like I was young. I was, you know, when I met Paul, I was 19 years old. So it was easy and young and all that. So
yeah.
He was a nice guy. We started dating. It all worked out well. The number one green flag I felt was we would walk into a bar and going along with he had friends from childhood, he would be able to walk to his friends and I would be able to walk to my friends. And I loved the fact that I had a boyfriend that was self-sufficient, that wasn't needy and constantly like, when are we going to go? You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was important to me. And through our marriage, I love it. Even at work events, I never have to worry about Paul. He's off talking to whoever, you know, in the crowd. But you had red flags and you still married the dude.
I had nothing but red flags. I can't even think of any green flags. I had caution and red flags when I started dating my husband.
And you moved in together after 4 days.
Yes, that is a true story.
Yeah. So, all right. So you meet this guy and after 4 days, you realize, OK, he could come move in with me. And you see along the way so do you think that at this point, now you've been married 11 years.
Mm hmm.
Did it matter that all the red flags were there and you should have walked away, but you stuck with it?
He was just such an endearing person. And I think he came into my life at the right time, almost like some cosmic connection that said, you need this person in your life right now. And he's just been the greatest partner that I could ever have. You know, I'm very type A. I'm very aggressive. You know, I'm Italian and stuff like that. I'm a Scorpio. Mm. And he's so type B. Passive, even though he's been in the military for most of his life. And there's just something so amazing about him. I couldn't be without him.
So you would argue that even if all the red flags are there, you still marry that guy?
You have to decide if it's a red flag you can get past. There are some you can't. I decided, you know what? I'm going to go on this journey with him. There are probably going to be some bumps along the way, but it's going to be a roller coaster ride that I get to take with my best friend.
And you know what Travis would say about that?
It's a banger.
It's a banger.
Dakota, you went to your first concert?
Yes.
Who did you go see?
Katy Perry.
Best day of your life?
Yes.
We walked out of that concert and my six-year-old said that she's never going to forget that night. And I realized that there's some moments for kids, their firsts, that they never forget, right? And going to your first concert, definitely I thought one of them.
That's so sweet.
I know. 1-800-330-9999. We want to count down the top five firsts for kids. Jan, number five.
Potty training.
You mean going to the bathroom by themselves, going potty for the first time?
Yes, the first time they're not calling from the bathroom. Mom, ready.
It's a big thing when a kid doesn't have their diaper anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All my nieces and nephews, whenever they didn't have their diaper, I would bring them to Walmart and they could pick a toy. That was the big reward from their aunt.
Oh.
Top five firsts for kids. Number four, Steve.
First sleepover at a friend's house. I think that's something that's super memorable, and I think it's really good in building really, really good friendship. And it's super fun. I remember having it as a kid, so I'll love my kids to experience that too.
Ashley, how do you feel about sleepovers?
My daughter just had her first sleepover.
Did she?
She was so excited. I mean, I couldn't take that happiness away from her. I wanted her to wait a little bit longer, but I was forced into a position where she needed to stay at a friend's house, and she had a blast.
I'm anti-sleepover. I don't do them.
No.
Nope.
I don't want kids sleeping over at my place. I really don't. It's going to happen at some point, though.
If she fights me on it, the little one, yes, we could have sleepovers at my house, but I don't let them sleep out. I don't know. When I was growing up, I wasn't allowed to either. And I fought my parents, and I thought it was the worst thing in the world. And now as a parent, I understand it.
Oh, I did a lot of sleepovers when I was growing up.
Knowing what you know at the sleepovers, you still think it's okay?
Yeah, because if the worst thing is her getting tape in her hair and lipstick on her face, I'm kind of fine with that. At least that's what used to happen to me.
Okay, we're doing the top five kids first. Number three, Dallas.
First steps are very exciting when they're wiggling and wobbling.
When you see them going and they make the first one with their arms out like little tiny Frankensteins, it's so cute.
Yeah, they just take a few steps and then fall into you and love it, yeah.
I still look at the video of Morgan's first steps sometimes. So cute. It was right around her first birthday.
The pain of being a working mom, I missed both my girls' first steps.
Really?
Yeah, really stunk, but it's okay. Yeah. You know, I ran home and I got to see it and I was able to see it on video for one, so cool. All right, number two, Chris, top five firsts for kids.
First time you get to hang out with your cousins. It's just like a great thing to me to see my little girl hanging out with her cousins. They're forming like these bonds that are going to take them through the rest of their life. I think that it's just awesome to watch.
I mean, I guess hanging out with your cousin is good, but I feel like we're missing some of the big ones, like losing your first tooth. Like, that's huge when the tooth fairy comes, or the first time you're riding a bike without training wheels, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it. Number one first for a kid. Lisa.
Their first day of kindergarten.
First day of kindergarten is huge.
That's a biggie.
I don't know if it's bigger for the kid or for mom and dad having to drop them off for the first time.
All involved.
Right now, it's the Iowa State Fair. And if you missed it, the greatest event of all time happened last week. The ladies' chicken calling competition. Woo! This is my favorite thing that happens. Ashley's in for Raven. Raven will be back from vacation on Monday. Ashley, are you familiar with the ladies' chicken calling competition?
I'm not.
Oh, it's fantastic. Women compete against each other to see who can sound the most like a chicken, I guess, to call the other chickens. I don't really know the history of it, but I know that I love it. Now, what I've done is I've compiled the people that competed.
Okay.
And we're going to play them one by one. And on a scale of 1 to 10, we're going to grade how great they did in their chicken calling. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Contestant 881.
I mean, that's impressive.
That's a high octave.
Yeah. On 881, what is the score you give?
Oh, that's an 11 for me.
Out of a 10?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I actually would give that also a 10. That was really, really impressive. Hold on, let's rewind and hear it one more time. Here we go. It's actually amazing. All right,
I almost feel the need to come running.
Uh-huh.
Contestant 860.
See what they did there? They got a little slower on the end.
Mm-hmm.
That was good, but not as good. I'm going to give that one a 6. What do you think?
I was going to give it a generous 7.
Okay.
Contestant 876.
Wah, wah. Where's the rest of it? Well, this is it. This is all they have to offer us.
Three.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, contestant 870. Today's not your day.
Bless her heart. Mm.
Contestant 879.
It's actually is harder than you think it is because I've been working on mine for the last 24 hours. That one was not terrible.
That one was more of an imitation than a call.
And if you're just turning us on, this is the Iowa State Fair Ladies Chicken Calling Competition. We're replaying to see who we thought was the best. Who did you think was the best out of those?
Oh, the first one by far.
Yeah.
First place for 2025, 881. Come on, girls, let's get your corn.
Yeehaw! It's everything I want and more. Oh, it's so good. All right, Ashley, you knew I was going to ask you to do this. Let me hear your chicken calling.
Oh, so I just got to call the animals over?
Yeah, do you need an example? Hold on, one more time. Hold on. Right. Here we go.
Come on, girls, let's get your corn.
All right, let's hear it.
I'm gonna do it the way a true Italian Scorpio would do it.
Oh, that was really disappointing, Ashley. Really disappointing. All right, ready?
Everyone? What, you want me to bawk bawk?
Yes!
Oh. Bawk bawk.
Come on, ladies! Come and get your corn! Oh, gosh, I have to keep working on it. Listen, can you do better? Do you think you can do better? Because I got a back-to-school Target gift card for the best person that can do their chicken calling right now. You think that's you? 1-800-330-9999. It's got to be better than ours, though. That's for sure. Can you do better than this to win a Target back-to-school shopping gift card?
Yeah!
Once again, Stephanie. It is back. Oh, I love it. The Iowa State Fair is going on now, and last week they had the Ladies Chicken Calling Competition. That is the big winner. Congratulations to her. I'm not sure what she won, but what we're doing today is we're asking you to call 1-800-330-9999, and if you can do the best chicken call, well, then the good news is that you're going to win a Target back-to-school shopping gift card. We had producer Julie go around the office and ask people to do their chicken calls.
Stephanie, if you were in a chicken clucking competition, give me your best call.
That was kind of sad.
It was like a turkey call. Different fowl.
Yeah. Cluck, cluck, cluck.
Why is everybody so shy with their chicken calls around the office? Like, when you call, you got to be better than that, honestly.
Yeah, disrupt all three floors.
Right.
Cluck, 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 cluck.
Are they calling chickens? What are they calling?
They're technically clucking?
I guess.
Steve, if you were in a chicken clucking competition, give me your best call. That was the best one I've heard. A lot of passion behind it.
I tried.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it was okay. I don't know if it was the best one. I mean, obviously the winner of the Iowa State Fair was the best one so far, but, you know.
Boss Keith, if you were in a chicken clucking competition, give me your best call.
That was fantastic.
That's why he's the boss.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Rewind. What? That was really good. Who knew our boss could do that? I'm not trying to, like, blow smoke up his tushy. I'm just saying that was pretty impressive, right?
I mean, you should leave him some feed outside of his door.
Oh, my God.
That was good. I mean, this is a lot. It started off weak, but the more we're going, the better we get. Okay, it's your turn now. Can you do better than all of our coworkers and the actual winner of the Iowa State Fair for the Ladies Chicken Calling Competition? 1-800-330-9999. Go ahead, Claire. You're up first. Can you put a little more heart into
boring.
It? Keep putting put
it's
more heart into it. It's good.
It's your corn, ladies.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was good, Claire. Good. Hold on. All right, Sue, let me hear your chicken call right now. I mean, she like messed up the phone line. It was so high screech. That was pretty good.
Are the chickens coming?
Look around. Do you see any chickens coming
see
towards
any
you?
Feathers?
Yeah.
Only my husband.
Okay. Close enough. All right. Hold on, Sue. Virginia, let me hear that chicken calling. That's pretty good. All right, Virginia, hold on. We're trying to figure out who we're going to give this gift card to. Okay, what do you think? They were all pretty good. Ashley, let's see. Sue put a lot of heart into it, and also her husband had to sit and endure that. Claire, she went for it, but there was times where I felt like her heart wasn't fully in it. And Virginia was loud and clear. What do you think? Who's going to get this gift card?
I almost think it has to be Sue because her poor husband, he's not going to hear for the rest of the day now.
All right. Congratulations, Sue. You got this Target back to school gift card.
Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Oh, mama.
Anna and Raven.
Ashley, what did you do this week to earn your margarita besides be on this show and then also have to go to your real job?
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
You know, doing double shifts, doing radio all week, then going to the TV job and then going to my daughter's cheerleading practice afterwards. So it was basically 4 a.m. all the way to 7:30 p.m.
Yeah, Mommy's Margarita Friday. You just call and you vent about what you accomplished this week and you're so happy it's the weekend. I have to say that you know, school's starting and everything is getting underway and it's giving me anxiety. I don't know. It's like that back to routine and back to craziness is for some reason I'm not dealing with it okay this year. I feel like I need to take a big deep breath in a yoga class or something this weekend to calm down.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I think it went too fast. Don't the summers always go too fast?
I actually thought this summer kind of went by slow, but I may be the cheese that stands alone.
Mommy's Margarita Friday is powered by Sherwin-Williams. Stop by the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off select paints and stains now through the 18th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Margaret, what did you do this week during your margarita?
So I woke up 2 days in a row this week to bats flying around my bedroom in my apartment.
No.
Yeah.
And then what did you do?
So
besides lose your mind?
I got caught in a sticky trap.
Oh my gosh, that's awful.
Yeah, I had to scrape him out with a butter knife and wearing oven mitts, of course. And fortunately, he flew away. But the next night, another one was flying around. So I opened my door and he flew around and he got out after about 7 minutes.
Okay.
So, I did find out how they're getting in. So,
how are they getting in?
Yeah. They're getting in through my my screen door. They can shove their way through. They're a little entry and escape artists.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Really cute, though.
Yeah, I have my pest company says like they need like a fingernail to get through. That's all they need because they can mold their bodies and their bones.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah, I believe I know.
Yeah. Well, I am so sorry. You have more than enough earned your margarita this week. That is for sure.
Oh, man. Thanks.
All right, Fran, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
I performed for the first time in a really long time. I sang with my friend's band. I haven't done that in like a year. It was really, really incredible, and I feel like I deserve a little treat for that.
That's cool.
Hmm.
Yeah. Are you a singer? Have you done it in the past?
Yeah. I once upon a time, I wanted to become a professional singer, but life got in the way, and I haven't sung in a really long time.
All right. Give it to us now. Give us a line or something.
Oh, gosh.
You're on the phone with your girlfriend. She's upset. She's going off about something that you said.
Taylor Swift action right there. Life of a Showgirl out October 3rd.
That's all you're going to get.
All right. I'll take that.
That's Taylor Swift, right?
Yeah, it's Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Yeah. Catherine, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
Well, I am quite proud of myself because I have high ceilings in the house. And all of my light bulbs like needed to be changed. And it's quite a test. So I managed to carry the ladder out of the garage like 3 weeks ago. And it finally made its way upstairs and I changed light bulbs. My closet is no longer dark. I can see and it feels so good.
Don't you feel like, Ashley, don't you ever feel like it's the little things that you put off that always give you the most anxiety, but then when you finally actually do it and you realize it takes 3 minutes, you're like, why did I stress about this for so long?
all the time. But I would love even more if she broke out the ladder with a drill and just walked by her husband just to watch his reaction. Okay, where's she going with that?
My husband would be in a full panic.
That's next week's test. My TV needs to be mounted. And I bought the stand like 2 months ago, and he still hasn't gotten to it. So thanks for the reminder.
Parents, who has a go-to item that they put in their kids' lunchbox that they actually like and they eat? And for you, it's easy. It's all the stress of being back to school and packing those lunches. Oh, here we go again. Ashley, what's like the number one thing that you put in your daughter's lunch?
Probably a pirate's booty or fruit by the foot.
The pirate's booty is a good one. What I noticed, though, is that she gets sick of it after a while. And then it keeps coming back every day. And I wonder, how many days in a row can I put the same bag of pirate's booty in there?
I do that with the applesauce.
Oh, no, she'll eat the applesauce. So I asked a bunch of elementary school kids, and here's what they said is always in their lunch.
Bagel.
Toasted or not toasted?
Not toasted.
Right, because that would be crazy. With butter or cream cheese?
Butter.
It's funny how as an adult, you don't want an old bagel that's been sitting in a bag for the last 6 hours, but for some reason, kids will eat them.
Bless their hearts.
At our schools, sometimes they give us lunch, and it would be French toast sticks, because sometimes they give us breakfast for lunch.
My daughter will not eat hot lunch. Does your daughter eat hot lunch?
Yeah, she does.
Oh, gosh, I wish. I don't know why she's so anti-hot lunch. I think back as an adult how I wish I could have somewhere I go with my tray and I just pick whatever they're serving that day and eat it. And French toast, that's a win for these kids.
I usually have a yogurt every day.
Danon yogurt pouch every single day in my daughter's lunchbox.
Every day?
Every single day.
My daughter's very hit or miss with yogurt.
I like sandwiches. Peanut butter and jelly.
I wish I could have a normal kid that would just eat a sandwich. I mean, she's got nut allergies, so it'd be the sun butter, which is the fakest of all the butters. But still, I can't even get her to eat a sandwich. I'm always jealous of the kids that eat the turkey sandwiches because I think that they look like smart, healthy kids.
That's my daughter, and she takes it up a level. I don't like veggies other than pickles on my sandwich. She likes turkey with provolone, lettuce, and tomato.
She sounds like my husband. That's his
very
order.
Sophisticated. Yeah.
I like the Oreos sometimes that my grandma packs for me.
Well, grandma's packing the Oreos. You know, that's cool. If my mom was packing my daughter's lunch, it would literally just be bars of Hershey chocolate. I think that's all she would put in there.
Oh, that's my favorite person in the world right there.
Yeah. No, it's hers too. Trust me. 1-800-330-9999. What are you packing in your kids' lunch that they actually eat? And it's easy for you.
I think the easiest thing is string cheese.
That's a good one.
Paleo string cheese is a good one. And I loved it growing up. The one thing that's annoying is sometimes I would put that in the lunchbox, and then when it comes home and it's not cold anymore, and she didn't eat it, it's so annoying because they're not cheap; they're expensive. Like the
do you
packages.
Throw it away or do you put it back in the fridge?
No, I have to throw it
away.
Yeah,
I throw it away too.
Yeah, it's one of those. It gets like that waxy kind of thing that you can't put it back in the fridge and give it another day. Like that's it. It's like the banana; it's got to go in the garbage. Dean, what are you putting in a kid's lunch that's easy and they'll actually eat it?
I don't know if nutritionists would go along with me on this or not, but a slice of cold pizza, a little of everything. You got, some tomatoes, you got some vegetables, you got cheese, you got meat.
Dean, I like that you're trying to prove the point that pizza is a balanced, healthy meal to give to your child.
I'm like a government nutritionist.
Every once in a while, I would get pizza in my lunchbox. It would be wrapped in foil, and I would see that triangle wrapped in foil, and I'd be like, yes, even though it was cold and tough.
Yeah. Oh, cold pizza is the best, though.
I don't like cold pizza.
I love it.
No. I think it's actually from it being in my lunchbox when I was a kid. I think that's why I don't like it cold. Erica, what are you putting in your kids' lunch that they'll actually eat?
A wrap. You can do hummus and salad and vegetables.
Ashley, would your daughter eat hummus?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Yours do? I am always so jealous of the parents that have the kids that eat hummus and avocado. Because I think you're right. It's such a nice, easy, nutritious thing to put in their lunchbox. Except my daughter wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
No, I don't think mine would either.
I'll tell you what, she would sign off on those Oreos, though, every day.
What couple?
I don't want to keep dealing with my sister and all of the drama it's causing.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard?
One problem.
To name the baby Clifford and demand that we change our dog's name.
You decide the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. I love the audience for that.
Will be a fun story, hopefully, to us in a few years.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. The Couples Court is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BETTERHELP.com/AnnaAndRaven. Rick and Debbie. Debbie, let's start with you. What's going on?
Well, we're getting ready to go on vacation for Labor Day, and we go every year on this big trip, and usually our dog, who is, she's just the most gorgeous golden retriever, we put her with his parents to watch her, and they're not available this year, so, and everybody else is away, so I think we have to cancel our trip because I can't put her in doggy daycare. I don't really want to hire a stranger to come and stay in my house. So I just think we're just going to have a staycation this year because Ella can't handle going to, you know, a different environment.
Okay. And Rick, I'm going to guess you don't agree with this.
Yeah, I think it's, with all due respect to my wife, kind of nuts. This is a vacation that we've had planned. It's every year. My dad had a little fall, so they can't take care of the dog, but I don't see any reason why we can't have someone come over and dog sit. People do it all the time. The dog will feel comfortable because she's going to be at home. You know, the person, whoever you get, is a professional with a reputation. I mean, we've already gotten recommendations of some good people from friends of ours who have dogs. So I do not see a reason to cancel this trip just because she's nervous about the dog and someone in the house.
Ashley, this is interesting. You have a dog, right?
I do. I have a dog and three cats.
Would you cancel a trip if you had to have a stranger come into your house to watch?
No, because it's what I do. I have people come stay at my home to watch my animals. I never board. And once in a while, I'll bring the dog with me, but only if we're going, you know, within 2 or 3 hours and it's dog friendly. But I have people over to watch my animals and I'm happy to do that. They're so much more comfortable.
Debbie, is your problem with this is that a stranger is in your house or that your dog doesn't know this person or what? Why would you be so against that?
Mostly it's this. Having a stranger in my house and that my dog doesn't, you know, Bella doesn't know the person. I don't know the person. So having somebody going through my stuff and in my space just doesn't feel comfortable.
I don't like to board. I've had good experiences, but I do feel like Lila, my rescue, gets kind of weirded out when she's high anxiety. She has a lot of problems. But I do think I would feel awkward about having somebody I didn't know at all coming in and out of my house, and I'd met them maybe once before I went on vacation. I don't know. What would you do? Would you cancel your trip if you didn't have somebody you know available to watch your dog and you weren't able to board? Would you be cool with a stranger coming into your home to watch your pet? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court. Oh, who's going to take care of your pets while you're on vacation? That's always such a tough thing. It's nice when you have somebody you can trust and they're always available. And usually that's the deal with Debbie and Rick. Debbie's parents watch, their parents watch the dog and they can go away. They go away every Labor Day. It's all good. Except this year, they can't. They can't do it. They're unavailable. And they have nobody else to watch this dog. So Debbie says we need to cancel the vacation. Rick says we just hire somebody online. Everybody does that. I don't know. It's tough when you think that there's going to be a stranger in your house that you don't know that you've met once before you go. I could understand how you would be apprehensive about it, but don't people do that all the time?
Yeah, I actually went on to Rover years ago and found a dog sitter who actually became my human sitter.
Oh, very nice.
So Rover, you can find dog sitters and human sitters.
Yes, very nice. 1-800-330-9999. Rob, whose side are you on?
I got to go with the husband, I think. You know, they've got to know somebody. Whether or not the parents can do it, they've got to know somebody. They've got to have a friend they trust. There's got to be somebody they know who can come by once, twice a day, make sure the dog gets some exercise, some food, some water. There's got to be somebody. They shouldn't have to cancel their entire trip because of this.
I know, but it's hard when you say that. There's got to be somebody, but then there's nobody. There's nobody you know. You have to hire a stranger. I've been in that situation many times where, oh my gosh, and I did the same thing. I went on Rover. I found a place and, you know, it certainly wasn't my first choice or my second choice or my third choice, but it was an option. What do you think? What would you do? Would you cancel your trip? 1-800-330-9999. You're headed off on vacation. You go to the same vacation every single year for Labor Day, but all of a sudden, your in-laws, who always watch your dog, are no longer available. You can't board your dog, and you're not comfortable with a stranger coming in. What's the only alternative? Canceling your vacation? The Couples Court Verdict is powered by Sherwin-Williams. Stop by the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off select paints and stains August 15th through the 18th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. That's what Debbie says. Debbie says that, unfortunately, there's no one to watch the dog. She doesn't want a stranger to come in, and they're going to have to cancel their trip. But Rick disagrees. He says, we can go on an app. We can find somebody. They can come over, meet the dog, and we will be fine.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I do too. But I can understand the apprehension of somebody that's never watched your pet before, who you obviously very much love, coming into your home while you're away and taking care of not only your home, but your pet. And you don't know them from a hole in the wall.
Oh, I understand the anxiety with that, too. I mean, I have someone reliable that comes over to my house. I still get anxiety leaving my animals, but you kind of got to put that in the back of your mind. Just go enjoy your vacation. Know your animals will be okay.
Diana, what do you think? Whose side are you on?
I am definitely on the husband's side. Listen, vacations, you never really get the chance to go on them. And I know your dog will be okay. I have a dog. So definitely find somebody to take care of the dog and go on your vacation. You'll enjoy it better.
The problem is like, what if when you don't know somebody and you have to think about the fact that there's a stranger constantly in your home? All right, Russ, what do you think? Whose side are you on?
Well, I'm sort of on a husband's side. I don't think they should cancel a vacation. However, the wife's concern, I can see. But I do have a solution. If she's willing to have video cameras installed in the rooms that they should and should not be in, that is a very good possibility for them to do. This way, when they come into the house, she can watch them for the 20 or 30 minutes to make her feel comfortable, all right, in the handling of her dog. But as an alternative, that's something that should be looked into.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks so much, Russ. Whenever we go away, we always turn off the cameras that certain ones, because we always tell our babysitter and our dog sitter, she's both, where they are and that they've been turned off, because we feel like it's an invasion of privacy for her to have them on. But I guess if it's a stranger, yeah, let it roll. Let those cameras film.
Right. You know what? And be strategic about where you put them so they're not looking for them.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Rick, our audience agreed with you today. Maybe having somebody come in will be a great surprise. Maybe you'll have a good relationship and then you'll have somebody you can depend on going forward too, which is also great.
Yeah, I think it's really the way to go. And also, we've got some time before Labor Day. We can actually have Ella meet somebody for, you know, just a few times, get more comfortable. We can get hopefully comfortable with them, you know, being the idea of them being in the house, you know, thanks to the callers. But that's all I got to say.
Debbie, you going to be okay with this?
Well, I guess I'm going to have to be. If we can meet them ahead of time, that will make a big difference.
I would think that most pet sitters are more than happy to come meet you before you go and to go over your pet's routine. And they want what's best for your dog, too.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Just set up some secret security cameras. That'll give you peace at night.
Right.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Two hosts, multiple clues, only one right answer. It's time to play Heads Up with Anna and Raven.
Raven will be back on Monday, and the Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot will be $4,100. So if you know your trivia and your pop culture and you think you can take them down, remember, you can text CBR all weekend long to 1-800-330-9999, or just sign up at annaandraven.com. It puts your name on a list to play. But in the meantime, Ashley Baylor, meteorologist, she's been so kind to spend the week with me, and we've been playing Heads Up all this week at the same time.
Didn't do so well yesterday.
Well, you didn't do so well yesterday, but like, it was hard. It's not easy to play Heads Up.
It's not.
All right. It's all powered by Sherwin-Williams. Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains August 15th through the 18th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. All right, Erica, here we go. Here's your two options today. Would you rather have clues from things you find on a playground or the most common weather terms?
Things you find on a playground.
All right, here we go.
Breaking my heart.
Okay. I'm going to put 60 seconds on the clock. Ashley is going to be giving you clues. Okay. You have to get 6 right in 60 seconds to win this Target Back to School gift card. Are you ready to play?
I am ready.
Ashley, are you ready?
I'm good.
Go.
When you sit on this, you have to pump your legs to go higher.
Swing.
Yes.
You use this to go from the top of the playscape to the bottom.
Why?
Yes. Why? Yes. Right. Use your strong arms to cross these.
Monkey bars.
Yes. You use a shovel and a pail in this.
Sandbox?
Yes. You throw an orange ball into this.
Basketball hoop?
Yes. You throw a rock and then you jump the numbers.
Hopscotch.
You got it. Wow. How about that? That's a good way to end the we got a bang. Great job. 43 seconds you did it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's so good. Congratulations, Erica.
Thank you so much.
All right, hold on the line. We're going to get all your info, okay? And Ashley, great job. Way to end the week with a big win.
I know. Solid ends.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.